all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Monday, February 20th. It's another beautiful day on Lake Wissota. It was a beautiful weekend, and that's all going to change, especially if you are a snow lover. It looks like things are going to change in the middle of the week. It is President's Day, so some folks are off today, and there's no mail delivery, and what a President's Day for Joe Biden, making a surprise visit overnight to Kyiv after a train ride across Ukraine to help the beleaguered residents there mark 1 year since Russia's brutal invasion. We'll have more about that coming up in just a bit. Coming up this morning on this here program, Dan Kelly, fake electors, real Republican. On this eve of the state Supreme Court primary, we learn the extent to which former Justice Dan Kelly crossed the line from conservative-leaning jurist to paid advisor for Wisconsin Republicans, the same Wisconsin Republicans who were conspiring to help Donald Trump overturn the 2020 election results in our state. Also this hour, Civic Media has some big news about its ever-expanding lineup of Wisconsin stations, something hitting close to home for me, and I can't wait to tell you all about that. Also next hour, mapping a path back to normal courts. We've become so numb to divisive politics that it's easy to forget that we still have the power to make some real changes for the better, starting with tomorrow's state Supreme Court primary election. Carlene Becken of Wisconsin's Fair Maps Coalition talks about the ongoing effort to move our state away from rigged, gerrymandered political maps that allow a right-wing legislature to obstruct some very popular ideas here in the state. We'll check in with weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky about the outlook for the week all across Wisconsin, especially what looks to be a very noteworthy snow event for midweek across the middle third of the state. Civic Media homeroom at the end of the show here, Terry Bell from the newsroom with three things you should know to start the week. As always, if you'd like to reach us, you can call the studio line at 844-967-2789. You can use the line up north, 715-388-7155, and you can email us, as always, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Look for the work our Up North News team does at upnorthnewswi.com, or look for Up North News WI on social media. And joining us in Madison, as always, producer Aaron Zommers. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Spent some time with my friends, stayed up way too late, but here we are. I woke up on time, and that's what's important.
yes, waking up on time, extremely important. And I think both of us were in danger of not having that happen. I had something that, I mean, it wasn't an official high school reunion, but my wife grew up in a small town in Manitowoc County. And for years we would gather, you know, in or around Reidsville. We'd go to some bar and we'd talk, and they are a great bunch of folks. They welcomed me into the fold right away, you know, when I was that first out-of-town boyfriend, you know, that the group kind of brought in. And so, you know, I've felt close to them for these 40 years now. But this time around, they said, hey, how about if instead of, you know, some little bar, let's go to Madison. Let's hang out there. And so we did. We were at a hotel with a nice little rooftop bar. We, you know, just we stayed up way too late. We, you know, went down Water Street. We had some couple of nice dinners, couple of nice meals. Went to that dueling piano bar, you know, over at the end of State Street, and just had a great time. But I can't stay up that late two nights in a row that much anymore. I was so dead asleep by 8 o'clock last night. But I needed it because we just packed in a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I only stayed up late on Saturday, not Friday. So two nights in a row is not it's too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a graphic ready for those of you watching on Facebook through video, but our question of the week is going to be something along the lines of, hey, Wisconsin, what's that smell? Because we noticed that in the state of New Mexico, something about roasting chili peppers, apparently rather aromatic. And you've heard of, you know, the state bird and the state rock and all that. They apparently roasting a certain kind of peppers is the new official state aroma of New Mexico. Got us to thinking, if there were going to be an official state aroma, and remember, the good kind, the kind that shows off the state and, you know, makes people jealous and goes, oh yeah, I remember when I was in Wisconsin, I remember that smell, because, you know, smells can be rather triggering. Would it be, you know, the parking lot at American Family Field of all the grilling going on? Would it be what I call yeast day at the breweries, where it, whether it's Miller or Liney's or whatnot, you know, the smell around the Great Lakes, the kind of the fresh air there? Would it be the pine trees when you're up north? So think about that, and we'll eventually get something posted and ask you to either post on social media or give a call.
I am glad you clarified it was a good smell, because I was definitely going to say, like, you know, farms.
You're going for the dairy air.
Or paper mill air.
Oh, yeah, paper. Yeah, that would be another one. And in both cases, that's money, boys and girls, but you know, it comes at a cost, shall we say, of it's not the freshest smell, put it that way. Again, Election Day is tomorrow. Go to myvote.wi.gov if you want to know where your nearest polling place is, and be sure to cast a vote tomorrow in that important state Supreme Court race. The Badger men's basketball team lost at home over the weekend against Rutgers 58-57. They will host Iowa on Wednesday. And for the Brewers, that first spring training game is now just 5 days away, coming up on Saturday against the Dodgers. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about some big news for civic media and the growth of local and quality talk all across Wisconsin. That's coming up next. You're up north. Tomorrow on the program, Eau Claire Democratic Assembly Rep. Jody Emerson will talk about getting social media companies to do more to fight human trafficking use of their platforms. And on Wednesday, State Representatives Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton on the new CRT that you're going to be hearing about in the coming year and into the 2024 elections. First, a reminder that if you are watching us on social media, at least on the Facebook pages, you can leave a comment below our funny little faces and tell us about the show. And if so, we might choose to put your comment up here on screen to share with everybody. Look for the Up North News Radio video feed over at the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, which is Civic Media US when you're on Facebook, and Bull Falls Radio, our station out of Wausau. I mentioned that I want to say just a bit more about what's going to be on Wednesday here when Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton come in, and the new CRT. It's the next round of manufactured anger against something that should have everyone's support. But in the case of CRT, the right wing somehow made it sound to a few people that, you know, teaching an honest and full account of racial history is a bad thing. And now they want to do the same thing with investing in companies that decide they don't need to put pollution or cheating their workers ahead of profits and inflated stock prices. And so the state reps will tell us more about what that means. That's coming up on Wednesday's program. Well, at this point, I want to talk about some very exciting new developments that I have been waiting a long time to share with folks. But first, before I talk about civic media and its growth, I have to offer up the usual disclaimer. While we're going to be talking about civic media and the growing network of radio stations, Up North News is a separate website, a separate entity entirely, owned by Courier Newsroom and its parent company, Good Information, Inc. We use some of Civic Media's radio real estate every morning from 6 to 8 on what is currently 8 Wisconsin radio markets, but that number is about to climb again, and we are thrilled to partner with them in sharing this announcement. Civic Media announced on Friday that it has entered into an asset purchase agreement with a different radio station group called Magnum Media to acquire radio stations from them in 4 more Wisconsin markets: La Crosse, Racine, Oshkosh, and right here in the Chippewa Valley. And once final FCC approval is all said and done, all the paperwork is filed and whatnot, The acquisition will bring the total size of Civic Media's network to 17 stations, covering nearly all of Wisconsin. With a wide mix of programming, there'll be news, talk, sports, music, each with a hometown, community-driven message and mission of informing and entertaining listeners. So here are some of the details on the new acquisitions. Civic Media is going to acquire WRJN, 1400 AM and 99.9 FM, broadcasting from Racine, along with the 98.1 translator, rebroadcasting from Kenosha. It includes the Victory Avenue Broadcast Studios in Racine. WRJN is a Packers Network affiliate, Milwaukee's only AM-affiliated station. WRJN FM's game day broadcasts can be heard in both Racine and Kenosha. Civic Media is also acquiring 1490 AM, The Eagle, in La Crosse, and 102.5 FM in Oshkosh. 102.5 FM in Oshkosh will broadcast the existing WVXN 1520 AM station in New Holstein and 96.5 in Appleton. And now the one that really makes me happy here in the Chippewa Valley, as Civic Media will acquire a pair of FM signals here. It's all based around what is truly a legacy station in the Chippewa Valley, WCFW 105.7 FM, which Magnum purchased last year and upgraded it to broadcasting in HD under new call letters WEZY. The deal also includes a new translator for that station at 93.5 FM. And folks around the Chippewa Valley might have noticed that the music they're hearing at 105.7, they're hearing as well at 93.5. That's eventually going to change. At some point, expect the 93.5 signal to change over to the news and talk that you're hearing at stations like this one with Up North News Radio, Dom and Crute, Todd Alba, Kristen Bry, Charlie Behrens, and so much more. And the historic WCFW call letters will be coming back as well. And that is a big deal for bringing local news and statewide talk back to the Chippewa Valley. These stations, all these new acquisitions, are in addition to the ones that currently make up the Civic Media family. You may be listening to one of them right now, whether it's in Waukesha, Milwaukee, Madison, Wausau, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, Amory, Baldwin, Hayward. When all is said and done, there will be about a half dozen stations that are primarily doing music and community news, but there will also be an even dozen stations doing news talk and talk about community issues and politics and such all around Wisconsin. Now, folks ask me all the time, they're like, well, who's listening to this? Who's listening to local radio anymore? Is this really worth it? And you know, we talk about the brand new studio and control center that's being built just off Capitol Square in Madison that's going to help coordinate all of these stations, because as we've talked about, different shows go on different stations at certain times. And people say, is it really worth it to make that kind of an investment? Who's listening to local radio around Wisconsin? Here's your answer. Voters. Bruce Murphy at Urban Milwaukee has a new article where he talked to retired UW professor Louis Friedland, who has a new book out about Wisconsin media and politics called Battleground. Friedland and his researchers estimated, and this is as of 2020, that there are 53 stations in Wisconsin running 151 hours a week of right-wing commentary. Again, 53 stations, more than 150 hours a week of conservative commentary. They estimate that conservative talk radio accounted for 61% of all talk news programming from 8 a.m. to midnight in the state, and those radio stations can reach 5.6 million of the state's 5.8 million residents. As Friedland put it to Murphy in this article, conservative talk radio is the electricity that keeps the radicalization cycle going in Wisconsin. So let's bring that to the real world. All of those small local radio stations that some people think nobody's listening to, that's how conservative Brian Hagedorn won a state Supreme Court seat and made a difference in getting rid of, you know, drop boxes and getting rid of COVID safeguards. It's how public opinion polls that once said Republican voters wouldn't support someone with Donald Trump, like Donald Trump, if he ever ran for president, later showed Donald Trump narrowly winning Wisconsin in 2016. and only losing it narrowly to Joe Biden in 2020. People ask, how did Ron Johnson win last year? Ron Johnson, how did he win? With nearly 200 appearances last year on local Wisconsin radio stations, not just the big boys, not just WTMJ or WISN or WIBA, but every little station with Sean Hannity or any of those other clowns who are spreading misinformation, they also got a healthy dose of Ron Johnson talking to them directly about his view on Mandela Barnes. You know, he's different. Hunter Biden, vaccine fairy tales. And Ron Johnson himself casting himself as someone trying to save Social Security for those listeners. Those folks hear all about, they hear his plans about cutting Social Security elsewhere, and they say, oh, that's just the liberal media. I heard from Johnson himself on my local radio station that they're lying about him. And so that must be the case. So even though it's actually in Ron Johnson's plans, if he's going on local radio literally hundreds of times a year across Wisconsin and telling them otherwise, that's what they're going to believe, not what he is actually doing, but what he is saying. For far too long, the response by non-conservatives was to basically write these folks off, lost causes, ignore them. Some of us for 30 years have been saying that's a mistake. We were right then and we are right now. And we have lost a substantial chunk of late baby boomers and early Gen Xers whose radios were still on all this time, in their cars, in their workplaces, all around us. It's just that we let some of that fade into the background as background noise. But I've watched too many of those folks slip away. And it is long past time that progressives got back onto the radios of Wisconsin, onto the radios of northern Wisconsin, central Wisconsin, northeast Wisconsin, southwest Wisconsin. And that's why civic media got started. That's why it's expanding. That's why it's gaining in popularity as a fresh voice of local happenings, Wisconsin news, Wisconsin issues. A new generation of digital hometown radio, a focus on stories that are relevant to the communities we serve, not just the latest national snowball fight about CRT or whatever is the flavor of the day on cable TV. Radio still plays a crucial role in our local communities. So civic media is on the scene now, broadcasting quality local news, local sports, and open and honest commentary designed to advance the understanding and the engagement of our audiences. As I've said, coming back to my regular day job, Courier Newsroom and Up North News, while a separate entity from civic media, we put down our roots for all the same reasons, except that we mostly have done our work through news and feature stories on websites and social media posts and videos, explainer videos, graphics, things like that. And we are just thrilled to be here on civic media radio stations too, providing, as I call it at the top of the show every day, a little bit of Wisconsin sense on a daily basis. And so we're thankful to be here. We are, we at Up North News congratulate civic media for all the work that they're doing to expand, to grow the network. And the fact that they are now coming here to Chippewa Falls, to WCFW, and then talking to Eau Claire and the rest of the Chippewa Valley is just that, that to me is the cherry on top. And I think that a lot of these stations, they either have a local programming already. For example, you folks listening to locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, your local morning show starts at 7 o'clock in the morning, right after the first hour of Up North News Radio. In Wausau, you've got Chad Holmes from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And the same can be said about, we've got local programs in many of the stations, and many others are coming. And I am absolutely certain that I will be a little busier coming up and looking for folks who would like to help me build out a new show just for the Chippewa Valley and for Western Wisconsin. And that's really what we need. Because again, Wisconsin can only have so much right-wing talk radio and so much sports talk about, you know, Aaron Rodgers sitting in a dark room someplace. And it's time that we got back to talking about what your local city council is doing, what your school board is doing. I mean, just look at all of the controversy about the Wausau consolidation plan that is now making news across the state. And frankly, the area might have been better served if for years and years, instead of just a right-wing talk station, they had something like this. Well, we're here now, we're here to serve, and we're here to grow. And we thank you all for that. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will stop in, as she does each week, Monday mornings at 6:30, to pay a little house call, talk about the headlines over the weekend, and look ahead to the week to come. And we'll also get an update on your local weather forecast, especially those of you who might be in the way of some wintry weather coming our way in the next 48 hours or so. All that on the way. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
I wake up every morning and tell myself,
good morning, gorgeous.
Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say,
good morning, gorgeous.
Are you sufficiently embarrassed by this yet, or do you still want this to be your walk-up music?
I forget about it, and then you play it, and it just cracks me up.
Good morning, Dr. Lyerly. How are you? How was your weekend?
Good morning. You know, it was a great weekend when on Monday morning, you're kind of exhausted, but like gleefully exhausted.
Gleefully exhausted. That's a pretty good way to put it. I'm not quite there yet, but I am. I'm gleeful. I had a good weekend, but like I was telling Aaron before, again, a lot of folks don't watch Blazing Saddles anymore, but Madeline Kahn has this great song in there, and it just sums it up when you go, I'm so tired, but we carry on.
Uh-huh. It's worth it.
Oh, it totally is. And you put on some miles over the weekend. I mean, I put on miles on the car going from Madison to the Twin Cities and back to Chippewa, but you put on those miles through pedal power.
Mm-hmm. It's been so warm that we put 100 miles on over the last week.
100 miles on your bikes, mm-hmm.
on your bikes. Yeah, 30 yesterday.
Not the vroom vroom kind, I hasten to add.
No, and it got really
the ring ring kind with the little bell on the handlebar. It's one of those. Yes.
We got on the southern end of the Fox River Trail where it's not paved, and it was really wet and messy, and it was fun.
Oh gosh. I mean, honestly, that's good for you, I guess. Good for you.
There were so many people out, little mm-hmm. kids with training wheels and scooters and people walking their dogs. That's my favorite thing, to see people out and about and smiling and happy. I mean, this is February, so incredibly unusual to have this kind of weather.
I think you needed that break because you have been, I mean, tireless is the right way to put it, in talking about the Supreme Court race. And that primary is now, it's arrived. It's tomorrow.
Isn't that hard to believe?
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people are caught off guard because, of course, today is President's Day. Mm-hmm. So no early voting today, but real voting tomorrow.
Like the real deal.
Mm-hmm. Get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me put it this way. Why? this is your chance to make that pitch. Why should anybody care about the state Supreme Court race tomorrow?
Oh, everything is at stake. This is the future of our state that's at stake. So you have to show up. It is voting rights. Literally, it is voting rights. It is gerrymandering. And I saw you're going to be talking with Carlene Beshin later this morning, who has really led the charge in the Fair Maps movement here in Wisconsin. And of course, it's the 1849 criminal abortion ban that's at stake here. I want to be able to practice here in Wisconsin and take care of my patients. And I know my colleagues are very interested in seeing how this turns out. Patients are not getting the information that they need. There's a giant chilling effect. We need to change things. And this is our opportunity to move things in the right direction.
Yeah, it all starts with a race tomorrow among the four candidates. You vote for one, mm-hmm. and then the top two advance to April 4th. It might be one conservative and one progressive. It might be both the progressives. It might be both the conservatives. It depends on who shows up to vote mm-hmm. and who they vote for. So it's so important to have that choice in April. It means folks need to turn up and vote tomorrow. And in with few exceptions, where there's a primary for a school board seat or a county board seat or something like that. And those are very rare. But by and large, it's just that one race. And so, I mean, going in to vote is like, it's as easy peasy as we can possibly make it. Just go in, cast that ballot, be done.
And it's important. This is a primary for a nonpartisan election. Nobody goes out and votes. There is such a low turnout for this election traditionally. So get out there. Your vote has never been more important. Cast it. Change the face of our state. Bring us back to that community that we know we are.
That's right. Now, this is away from civic media, but I did just spend 15 minutes really promoting the heck out of our stations here. So I'm going to take just a moment to step away from civic media and mention that our friend Kirk Bankstead from the Minocqua Brewing Company does his own podcast and what he's putting together at midweek, and then what will be available for download probably as early as Thursday is an interview with Jim Obergefell. And if the name Obergefell is somewhat familiar, but not totally, it brings us back to Supreme Court races, and or not races, but Supreme Court cases. In this case, Kristen, the U.S. Supreme Court, Obergefell v. Hodges is the case.
Yeah, and that name really stood out when Clarence Thomas wrote his dissenting opinion and put on the hot seat gay marriage. Like, remember when gay marriage became legal in this country?
It became so because of this case in 2015.
Yes. Yeah. And we're going to talk with Jim Obergefell. And Kirk always has these interesting connections. So he is actually marketing a wine that he's working with Jim Obergefell to get out there. And it's all about elevating progressive politics and just all of the great work that Jim Obergefell has done. So we're going to hear the whole story about the case and just actually get to talk with him. What an incredible opportunity.
Yeah. So you and I are going to sit in on that, be part of the questioning, and then you'll be able to look for that over at Kirk's Minocqua Brewing Company Facebook page and also wherever you download your podcasts over the weekend. So look for that there as well. I also wanted to, while you're here, we haven't yet talked about back to the state Supreme Court race. I mean, we already knew, and I used to put "knew" in quotation marks. We knew Dan Kelly's basically a Republican. He, is very upfront about, being a conservative. Jennifer Doro, the Waukesha County judge, is the same way. Well, it's one thing to be a judge with conservative leanings. To me, it's another thing entirely to be paid by the state Republican Party, and I think by the National Republican Party as well, to be a bit of a legal consultant, if you will. And that's what the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported on late last week, that thanks to testimony from the January 6th committee, we, as people have been combing through the testimony that has since been released, it was come up that Kelly, after he left the court in August of 2020, went on to be paid nearly $120,000 by the Wisconsin Republican Party and the Republican National Committee to work on elections issues. And that, according to testimony from the former state Republican Party chair, Andrew Hitt, Kelly was working on some pretty extensive conversations about the fake Republican electors.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Dan Kelly worked for the Republican Party?
He was getting paid as a special counsel. And he again, trying to be fair here, likes to say that, again, just because an attorney is advising somebody does not necessarily mean they agree or disagree with the plan. Fine, we'll put that in there. But we're also going to put in there that this person who wants to be on the state Supreme Court, again, was paid $120,000 by the Republican Party as legal counsel and was part of the conversations about the fake electors, about Donald Trump's plan to use fraudulent electors to overturn the will of the voters in Wisconsin and across the United States. And I mean, look, you can talk about attorney-client privilege all you want, but there's also something to be said for doing the right thing as, as an American, and maybe speaking out against this kind of thing when you're given the opportunity to do so. And I don't know that I've heard Dan Kelly yet say, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have advised them not to do it, or I should have, cooperated with, anybody that asked me to. I don't know what, but I sure get that impression Dan Kelly could have done more to, dismiss the notion that I'm certainly putting out there, that I'm not sure having a paid Republican legal counsel is who you want on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
It seems to me that he was entirely on board with that whole takeover of the government business that was happening here in Wisconsin. He hasn't said that he wasn't.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, and again, if he hadn't been unseated from the Supreme Court by Jill Karofsky in 2020, mm-hmm. it is, I would say it's extremely possible, highly likely, if not a complete slam dunk, that the state Supreme Court, right after the 2020 election, would have gone along with a couple of the right-wing justices on the court, Patience Rogensack and Annette Ziegler and Rebecca Bradley. Those were folks who would not have hesitated, based on the reading of their decision, which thankfully was a minority decision, but they would not have hesitated to be part of a majority decision that threw out legally cast ballots by thousands, tens of thousands of voters in Milwaukee and Dane County, saying, well, it appears there's some kind of funny business here. Again, I think people really underestimate how close we came in dodging that bullet and what some politicians and what some justices were willing to do to quite literally attack democracy in this country.
And to know that one of those voices that was so deeply involved in that is now running for state Supreme Court with a strong campaign. I saw lots of signs out for Dan Kelly yesterday. I saw hay bales painted on my way back from Madison with Dan Kelly on the hay bale. There, I mean, the commercials, he is very much out there. He is very much a competitor, mm-hmm. and he is dangerous.
Oh, and he's got so much money. I saw, and not him, not just him, but allies for him, which of course includes Dick Eline, the billionaire, mm-hmm. the person who put tens of millions of dollars into ads that helped Ron Johnson to win re-election by being able to cast just enough doubt on Mandela Barnes, because you run those ads enough times. He's now running ads, well, his PAC that he contributed money to is running ads for Dan Kelly, giving that whole law and order, wink, wink, you know, piece, and talking about, you know, enforcing the law. And again, I always think, well, enforcing the law based on whose interpretation, when you consider that out of the thin air last year, the conservative justices on the state Supreme Court said, oh, no, we can't have drop boxes, even though we'd had drop boxes in the state for years and years. Uh-huh. They suddenly found a law to enforce based on that. So when Dick Eline drops millions of dollars in this race for Dan Kelly, you know, he's dropped in at least 1.5 already, if not more. That's the kind of thing you have to keep in mind when you hear people say Dan Kelly will enforce the law. Yeah, well, what is it that he'll read into the law as he's doing that? It doesn't sound like good news, Kristen.
Well, it's not as easy as just enforcing the law. That's the whole reason for our judicial system, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, the law is open to interpretation, and that's the role of judges.
Yeah. President Biden surprised us all. I woke up this morning, turned on the TV, and there's Joe Biden in Kyiv with President Volodymyr Zelensky. Saying, hi, hey, where's Waldo? Where's the president? He's in Ukraine, which is a big deal. And not and in part because, unlike, say, Afghanistan, where you fly in, you know, through Air Force One and, you know, you try to be aware of, you know, anti-aircraft fire, Biden had to partially take a train to get there.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And so this is very surprising, but also very refreshing, because we're on the 1 year anniversary of Russia's brutal invasion, with so many crimes against humanity committed as a result of it. And Biden was there to say that, you know, because of you, Ukraine stands, democracy stands, the Americans stand with you, and the world stands with you. And we really need that, because there are people in our Congress right now introducing resolutions and talking about cutting off aid to Ukraine, because again, they've been part of this pro-Putin, pro-Russia faction of Congress, which to me is, you know, absolutely traitorous, but it's out there, and it's important to have, you know, trips like this and talk like this so that people don't get fatigued and understand this is a real deal. And this, we need to stand with Ukraine throughout this and win this thing.
Yeah, Volodymyr Zelensky was on all of the morning news shows yesterday talking about fatigue. Actually, the way they introduced it was he is warning of fatigue. And I thought, are you kidding me? It's been a year that they've been under assault from the Russians. It's exhausting. So for Biden to make a point to go there, the optics, I think, are incredibly important. And I was actually really happy to see that.
Yeah, we've tracked a few votes over at upnorthnewswi.com by Tom Tiffany, who has been by and large, while he says he's standing with Ukraine, has also voted plenty of times in ways that could be interpreted as being, he's not co-sponsoring this Ukraine fatigue resolution, but he'd better also know that he's being watched and had better stand with democracy this time around. What say we make things a little lighter? Talk about music and this day in history, if you're
up for it. That's my favorite thing to do on a Monday morning.
Well, let's do that then. Okay. Let's catch our breath, fill our coffee cups, and we'll take a little music break when we come back. You're up north.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, Dusty Springfield. God, I could just, again, people you could listen to all day long.
You went Dusty Springfield, I went Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, well, again, Pet Shop Boys were, they were all the rage in 1988 when the song peaked on the charts. It only peaked at number two. It did not become a number one hit thanks to Tiffany, and her song Could Have Been was number one all that time. But still, peaking at number two, not bad, especially for Dusty Springfield, her first big hit since 1969. Wow. And people were like, I didn't know she was still around. We have lost her since that time. But at the time, 1988, we're like, Dusty Springfield? And she still sounded like an angel. An angel that smoked a pack a day, it sounded like, with that little bit of a huskiness in there. But, oh, just so great to hear her. All right, speaking of what have I done to deserve this, it's Mitch McConnell's birthday again. And he turns 81 years old today. We talked last week about how Michael Jordan and Larry the Cable Guy were born on the same day and turned 60 the other day. Well, Charles Barkley was only a couple of days behind them. Charles Barkley turns 60 today. And Cindy Crawford turns 57.
Still beautiful.
This is the 35th birthday, turning 35 today. Young lady we saw not too long ago at the Super Bowl, Rihanna. She was born Robin Rihanna Fenty in St. Michael, Barbados. She was discovered at age 16, landed a deal with Jay-Z's label Def Jam. So again, happy 35th to Rihanna. This would have been Kurt Cobain's 36th birthday. He was born this day in 1987.
36? No. 56.
Yeah. No?
No, that's not right. Your math is wrong.
Uh-oh. Let's see. Let's see. Aaron? Aaron? Did you look?
Yeah. The I got the wrong birthday. the wrong year. I typed 1987 instead of 67.
1967, that would have made him 56 years old today.
Yes, it would have.
Okay.
Math in my head.
Hooray.
On a Monday morning.
Not bad for that medical degree. Tell you what, don't sell yourself short on that medical degree. It'll take you places. Let's see. Who else? Now I'm going to doubt all these. Walter Becker, the late co-founder of Steely Dan, was born in Queens this day in 1950, which actually does sound right. He met his bandmate and songwriting partner, Donald Fagen, while attending Bard College. And John Giles, founder of the Jay Giles Band, was born in New York City on this day in 1946, which would make him 77 years old today. On this day in 2009, The White Stripes, a favorite of Conan O'Brien, played on the final episode of Late Night with Conan O'Brien. They played We're Going to Be Friends.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens,
that's a favorite in my house.
It was, the final episode of Late Night with Conan O'Brien, but it also ended up being the last performance by the White Stripes, which split up 2 years later. Happy birthday to the U.S. Postal Service. 231 years ago today, an act was signed by George Washington creating the U.S. Postal Service. So to mark its birthday today, no mail for you. Of course, it's because it's President's Day, but it's also the birthday of the Postal Service. It's the anniversary of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, this day in 1872. Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake debuted in Moscow this day in 1877. John Glenn became the first American to orbit the Earth on February 20th, 1962. Three orbits in just about 5 hours. And finally, Dr. Lyerly, on this day in 1905, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of a mandatory smallpox vaccine in Massachusetts. Sound familiar? Making sure the population is vaccinated and everybody doesn't drop dead?
Yes, public health is a good thing.
It is. And so as we talk about public health, there has been an interesting conversation over the past, 4 or 5 days since Pennsylvania's newly elected Senator John Fetterman, coming off that bruising campaign against Dr. Oz and recovering from a stroke, checked himself into a hospital to be treated for clinical depression, which, as we talked about on Friday, it's not like he's the first member of Congress to seek treatment for something, whether it's depression or substance abuse or whatnot, but they always had to try to do it secretly because, it was a career killer. And Fetterman, again, kind of leading the way, saying we need to be able to normalize the fact that people have these crises and we should be allowed to deal with them and not feel ashamed.
He's been through so much. The stroke, the ugly campaign, the after effects of the stroke, and then being mocked for needing special things like a teleprompter to help him get through interviews. I think it's incredibly courageous for him to step up and do the thing that he knew he needed to do and be visible about it. You know, especially for men in a masculine culture, it's really hard to say, I'm struggling here and I need some help. And personally, we were talking in the commercial break. For me, my dad died when I was young because I'm convinced that he suffered from depression. But instead of getting the appropriate treatment that he needed, he was an alcoholic. Alcohol became his crutch, and that was what took his life. And, you know, that affects everybody in your sphere. So to take that step, to recognize that there is help out there and to pursue it, and then to admit it so that other people could see that it's okay. It's okay to choose treatment. I'm so proud of him.
I would like to think that even in your, you know, few years of practice, you're probably about 3 years out of med school. And that, but even in the time that you've been practicing, that there has, I would like to think more, a higher percentage of your patients, when you bring up, you know, do you feel like you need to talk to somebody or, you know, depressed and whatnot, an increase of people that said yes, as opposed to people who were like, oh, no, you know, total denial, don't want the help, because, again, they don't want the stigma.
The problem now is that we don't have enough services.
Yes.
So when somebody needs help, it's really hard to get them plugged into the appropriate kind of care in the area that they live. So working on it, it's a long haul, but we'll get there.
It is. I was in the Twin Cities. My brother-in-law is a therapist for people of high school age and runs kind of a larger clinic, and says every one of his therapists is completely, you know, booked out, and, you know, every place around there providing counseling services is looking for more because the need is there. And while that some people say, well, is that a commentary on the state of the world? I'd also like to think it is a commentary on people being willing to seek help now and not be ashamed of it.
Agree. Thankfully.
Oh, it's always so good to talk to you. You are going to put together a hometown health segment for us, and we were going to see you next on Thursday at 7:30.
We're going to talk about adolescent health, and it's going to be fantastic.
All right. Kristen Lyerly, thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too.
All right. We will take this break, talk more in our 7 o'clock hour, including about how to get fair maps back in Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio for a Monday. We're all gonna be friends.